You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Undisclosed Starbucks somewhere in Seoul, it's Seoul Survivors, your weekly source on teaching ESL and living in Seoul. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today is my co-host, John.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I think we have lost Pam.
I think it's possible.
Yeah.
I think it's possible.
Yeah, it is sometimes a bit much, you know, to say when you do. You work 5 days a week, you got Saturday to kind of, you know, do your running around.
Stuff, right.
And then, you know, Sunday's always a really nice day to just, I got nothing to do. Maybe I'll go see a movie, maybe I'll sit in a cafe,
maybe I'll do nothing.
Exactly. And, you know, and then they kind of have that little podcast thing maybe looming over the, you know, because we usually record about Sunday, 4 p.m., 4:30, 5. Yeah, they kind of have that sort of looming at the end of your day. It can be a bit of a buzzkill or whatever.
Right.
Do the kids still say buzzkill?
I don't know. Of course, none of my Korean ones do.
Okay.
And the only people I know who say it are people my age and 10 years younger.
All right, then. Okay, so, let's see. Good week, John?
It was okay. We had some intensive programs going on, and so I got to do theater again, and I'll get to do that again this next week. It's a lot of fun because I get to have the kids I get the same group of kids every day.
Right, yes.
And it's very nice. I get to actually know some of them, and so I'll do that. And then after this week, I have 10 days off, so.
And McDonald's Korea has actually introduced a reason to go to McDonald's.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. To just sort of reiterate, you know, I mean... Starbucks is different because Starbucks just is a good cup of coffee.
Right.
It's very, very hard to find a better cup of coffee. However much you may think Starbucks is the great Satan back in America.
Yeah, whatever.
You want to talk about Satan, let's talk about paying $5 for instant coffee here. Lukewarm instant coffee in Korea, right? So,
McDonald's.
Yeah, McDonald's is just like, well, geez, you know, it's a burger.
It's welcome sometimes.
Yeah, but even if you're going to slap some kimchi on that burger, you're not experiencing Korea in terms of, you know, the Korean cuisine. So, but all that goes out the window because
breakfast is now being served at McDonald's.
Absolutely. Oh, that is so exciting. God. Yeah, Egg McMuffins. What are they offering?
Pretty much the whole range. The Egg McMuffins with the sausage, the Egg Cheese McMuffins with the bacon.
Okay.
The little cake of hash browns, hot cakes.
Cake of hash browns.
That little oval thing.
In Canada, we call them hash browns.
Yeah, well, in America, right. Where I grew up...
Do you call it a biscuit?
Hash browns are a big blob of that stringy potato stuff.
Oh, really? Okay.
Whereas at McDonald's and places, they form it into a cake. Anyway.
Cake. All right.
Hot cakes, which I haven't tried yet.
Which we call pancakes in Canada.
Yeah, I kind of do too, but on the menu it says hot cakes, so...
They might call them flapjacks out in Alberta. Flapjacks,
have you heard them called that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like trousers for pants, you know.
Right.
It's just
right.
I don't know. I don't want to hang around somebody who's calling them flapjacks. There's just something about that.
Yeah. Something flappy jacky about it.
Flapjacks. All right. So they pretty much got the whole menu.
Right. From 5 to 11.
5 a.m. to 11. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I haven't been. I keep intending to, but sometimes you have reasons to get out of bed kind of early in the morning.
And, right. At least
out
once
there.
A week, I'm up.
Okay, out there pounding the pavement.
In the neighborhood,
all right. So,
that's very nice. And whether I should be ashamed of it or not, I don't know. But I'm not one of those that's real, real thrilled with a lot of Korean food.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Another source of food that I can enjoy is really cool.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's kind of like you eat Korean food in the house and you go out to a restaurant and you eat Korean food. You know, right. It's just
the whole Korean.
They just don't ever turn it off.
To fit stereotype and walk right into it. I love the Korean barbecue.
Yeah.
But that would be about the extent thus far of regular old Korean food that I get crazy about.
Usually, we're kind of used to, you know, Mexican food one day and Indian food another day. Right. You know, that kind of more of a mix. And whereas here, it's to Koreans, it's just food. You know,
right.
It's not like kalbi and all that food. It's just like that's under the banner of Korean food.
Right.
That's just food. But to us, we tend to just sort of see this. There's Korean food and there's Indian food, and you know, yeah. But I guess the other good point about the McDonald's, why you're not like, you know, completely like a evil foreigner for eating at McDonald's breakfast, is in the same reason why you can't. Sometimes it's hard to get a good cup of coffee. It's also hard to get just a good Western style breakfast in Korea. Yeah,
right.
You
can make one, or
sure,
or now you can go to McDonald's.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, even we can dispute whether we want to call that a good Western style breakfast or not, but it is a Western style breakfast.
Well, that's true.
It has egg, it has English muffin, it has cheese, it has sausage.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, that's an excellent point. But if you do want even a mediocre Western style breakfast, I mean, a lot of times it's like, you know, the hotels are your options, and then it's like $35 or something like that. So.
I usually don't want one that bad.
No. Me neither, but. So I don't know. That's a good thing. And I guess on the topic of food, then we can go to our snack of the week.
Snack of the week. It's, what is it again?
It's like a Jolly Pong.
Jolly Pong.
Jolly Pong. Pong. Right. You've had the Jolly
I have
Pong
had it before.
Yeah. You're thinking there's like a Jolly Pong season.
Yeah. It seems to me that. And what's sticking in my head is what's the harvest?
Chuseok.
Chuseok. Seems to me that around Chuseok, they pulled it out in the school cafeteria for the kids.
All right, that's understandable.
But maybe not.
Describe the Jolly Pong.
Well, I could go the long way around, or I could just say...
Let's talk, because you've had this before, so don't jump into the taste yet.
Oh, okay.
Just the aesthetics.
Dang it.
The visual aesthetics of Jolly Pong.
Yellow bag, bright yellow bag.
All right. Containing.
Right. Looks like a potato chip bag.
You're right. Okay. Right.
You can hear it inside.
All right.
Little pieces of puffed wheat that are glazed with something.
Brown substance.
I could call it sugar smacks.
All right. Well, let's taste it. They look like sugar
they
smacks.
Look exactly
right.
Like
yes.
Sugar smacks.
But like I say, hodak. To me, looked like an English muffin, and that was no English muffin.
Right.
So let's. We're doing science here, right? This won't be confirmation bias.
Okay.
Jolly Pong.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
It's not as sugary glazed-y as Sugar Smacks.
Right. Yeah. It's a slightly mother-approved.
Right.
Sugar Smacks.
Is that
the one with the frog or with the bear? Sugar Smacks.
Oh, I can't remember.
I think it's a crazy frog, Sugar Smacks.
Sugar Smacks. What's the other one then?
Well, there's Sugar Bear.
But the cereal isn't called Sugar Bear.
Honeycombs?
No.
No.
I'll think of it at some point.
All right. Okay.
I'll Google it.
All right. So yeah. So it's good. I mean, I've had.
Yummy.
I avoided buying this for a long time just because it just looked kind of dull. And then I don't know why I bought it, just because it was on sale. And then I tasted it. I'm like, oh, geez, it's Sugar Smacks. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but here it's just kind of eaten as like a dry snack. But
right.
you can just dump it into a bowl and put milk on
Which
it.
Which is about what my plan is for this evening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, because you can't actually find it as a cereal, like in a box, right?
No.
Yeah.
You can find, let's see, and this is important for people to know.
Right.
I suppose you can find Fruit Loops.
Right. Okay.
You can find Frosted Flakes.
Okay.
Those are the only two that I've seen in grocery stores that I can think of off the top of my head. There may be a few more.
No, you know, Rice Krispies, no.
Yeah.
What are the little Shreddies? Shreddies, no Shreddies.
No Tricks.
Yeah, no Shreddies. So.
There are lots of you know, they do make their own kind of cereals that we don't, you know, flaky kinds of things and whatnot that are just fine. But if you're jonesing for Fruit Loops and think you might have to pack 5 boxes when you're coming over here, you don't. You can find them here.
Or Sugar Smacks.
Or Sugar Smacks. Right.
All right, so our main topic is, this was suggested by a friend. I was sort of fishing around for a subject, and then he was talking about car ownership in Korea.
Oh.
Yeah, which is kind of, you know, ESL teachers, we're not really quite, that's not sort of something we're going to be investing in a car, but, it, you know, the whole idea of, you know, getting your butt around Seoul, you know, how do you, you know.
Sure can.
Yeah, so let me just iterate the ways, other than car ownership. You got your walking.
Right.
Right.
This is good for you.
Yeah. That's healthy. And subway.
Right. Which is everywhere.
Yeah. And then you got taxis and a bus.
Right.
Have you ridden a bus here?
Oh, yeah. I ride them every time I go. Every time I take the subway, I take the bus to the subway.
Okay. What color bus? Green bus?
Usually it's a green bus.
Right. Okay. The buses that come in colors. This is a fairly recent development.
They're priced differently according to color.
They can be priced differently, too. Yeah. So you got the... we've got the green bus, and we've got these like little green buses, which are kind of like little local jobbies. And I don't know if you can use your T money, your Seoul Transit.
I'm not sure. I'm familiar with those, but
yeah. And then you've got your green bus, which are kind of you know,
not long
local,
distance-y
yeah,
kind of,
very local, yeah. Sort of. You know, they run between maybe 3 or 4 different subway stations.
Right.
And then you've got your blue bus.
Right, which I take to do my laundry.
Yeah, your blue bus can go, you know, pretty far. Like, you know, around Seoul. From like one end of Seoul to the other end of Seoul. And then there's like the orange bus, which goes to, you know, outlying suburbs, which goes quite far. If you want to go down to Bundang, we took an orange bus out.
I think so.
Yeah, to go see Sarah. And then I think there's like another one, finally like a... It might be like a yellow bus or something that's like really, really super far. But there's a logic behind the color system. Kind of green. Well, green to sort of imply the, you know, the trees and stuff. So it's kind of local. You know, you're just going around the forest.
Okay.
And then blue, kind of like the sky. You know, you're heading towards, you know.
Far
and,
off in the yonder.
Yeah.
Right.
And then orange, kind of, you know, like the setting sun. The, you know, kind of, you know, the way out. Because you're going back to the suburbs when the sun's fairly low in the sky. So, yeah. That's kind of, I think that was the rationale.
So the subways and buses.
Yeah. But then the buses, and they redid the whole bus system, and it was just a nightmare. And the mayor of Seoul issued some big apology. It was a lot of teething problems, but eventually it all worked out. And all what I know is that I never took the bus before they redid the whole bus system, and now I'll take the bus no problem.
Okay.
Mostly because there was a, you know, you paid your subway fare. And then when you got on the bus, there's no transfer system. So you paid a new fare to get on the bus. But now that you've got
it's
your
all
little...
integrated.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Unless you're paying cash, then you've got there's no like little paper transfer kind of thing. Yeah.
Another incentive to get yourself a T-Money card pretty much as soon as you get here.
But the buses, you tend to have to hold on for dear life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They have two modes, which is brakes and... go fast.
Yeah.
And there's no...
Yeah. They go very fast.
Right.
They rarely obey red lights. That's that's always a little bit white knuckle. And they love to stop quickly.
Right.
And sometimes it's like, you know the stop is like a couple blocks away and it's really heavy traffic. And the guy is like in the far left lane and you're like, how in God's name is he going to get over three lanes in like two blocks?
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's just, but they manage
it
somehow.
They do it.
Yeah. Before they kind of Koreans kind of get it now, the road systems and stuff. But when they sort of initially kind of car ownership was a sort of a more privileged thing, it tended to be like the survival of the fittest on the roads.
20 some odd years ago, when I was in Seoul, I was in the Navy and I was in Busan for a port call and came up here for a trip. I remember standing on a corner of some huge, huge intersection, just slack-jawed, looking at this mass of cars just sort of congealing and forming in not anything like a lane, just somehow moving somewhere, trying. It was just stunning, horrifying.
I mean, now today,
they've come a long way.
Even Alaska, when I was here first in 2000, it was horrifying. I mean, you really had to like crossing on the green with the little walk guy. I mean, you just had no right of way, and that is much, much, much better now. But yeah, it was kind of like you know, whoever has the biggest vehicle on the road has the right of way.
Yeah.
End of story. And it's the little helpless pedestrian. Yeah. But I think a lot of the improvement in sort of driving sort of may be blamed on the car insurance. They really introduced a big car insurance system where kind of like it used to be if you got involved in an accident, you caused an accident, that was a criminal offense.
Oh.
Yeah. But then they changed it to like, well, unless you have car insurance. And then so people obviously didn't want to go to jail for, you know, fender benders. So so they got car insurance. But then, you know, there's now the, which keeps us driving sane, is I don't want my insurance to go up, right? So you know, there is actually definitely an immediate monetary penalty for bad driving. And that keeps most of us in the West. It's not because we're
good.
We're just naturally excellent drivers.
Right.
It's because we live in fear of our car insurance going up.
Right.
And they've introduced that great system here. So yeah. So
excellent. Good idea.
Roads are much better, much safer. Yeah. All right. So taxis. What about taxis? What's your take on taxis?
I've taken them a few times. It's sometimes problematic, given that I don't speak much any Korean. Some of the times I've taken them, I've been with people who did speak just enough Korean to know how to get where they were going.
Right, yeah.
And they're cheap.
Yeah.
By Western standards, you know, by big city standards, in America at any rate, and in other Europe, very cheap.
Yeah. We probably talked about this before. Flag fall at $1.90, and you can go a good clip before it even rolls over 10 cents. You know.
Right.
Now it's $2. No tipping.
From where I am to Itaewon. It's about a $15 cab ride, which would be probably closer to a $30 cab ride in another city.
Yeah. So you can kind of go from where in the top of Seoul to, like, the river.
Right.
Midway. So you can get halfway across the city, for about $15.
Yeah.
And then we're talking a city of 10 million people, so I don't know.
Right.
Can you get halfway across New York for $15?
Yeah. I doubt it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Geographically, Seoul is a big place.
Yeah.
It's a big place. I mean, the blue line, I think, from one end to the other takes almost 2 hours. Almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
That's a big city.
So, but the downside is, I mean, the cabbies don't speak English.
Right.
And they have that, you know, free translation phone system.
Right.
But I'm always rather skeptical whether they'll even hand you over their cell phone to engage. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. I see those free interpretation signs all over the place. I have phone numbers in my subway guide.
All right.
But I've never used it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I've been here 3 years, and I honestly can't say I've ever really been taken for a ride in a, you know, sort of the guy's gone the long way around, you know, that kind of thing. I don't think I've ever really had a cabbie kind of rip me off. I did have a guy, old guy, kind of get lost a bit once. But I think it was just, he was legitimately lost. But then I made the same trip like a few weeks later, and the meter rate was almost identical. So
he didn't get too lost.
No, he obviously didn't get too lost, yeah. Because at first time I was just kind of fuming. I'm like, oh, geez, what an idiot. You know, I'm never getting a cab again with, like, a guy who's 80 years old.
Right.
You know. And then a couple weeks later, I do the same trip, and then it's like, really his dunderheadedness only added about a couple extra bucks to the cab.
All right, sorry, old man.
Yeah. But, I mean, I kind of knew enough Korean to sort of, politely express my ire, and we sort of decided on that, you know, that anything over $20 was going to be, on his dime. So, yeah.
Fair amount of Korean to be able to make that negotiation.
Yeah. Yeah. But taxis, again, can be a little harrowing.
I would say of the times that I have almost been run down in the street, 99% of them have been by taxis.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah, they're insane, crazy drivers, and they don't. I don't know if it's the law that they don't have to pay attention to the law, or what. But
yeah, well, they're not working for huge amounts of money. So, and they're not even expecting any tips. So they really got it. Yeah, the life of a cabbie here is not a good life. I tend to cut them a little bit of slack, but all the same, I mean, cabbies in Toronto are not exactly courteous drivers, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. Subway. I think we've talked a lot about the subway.
Right.
Yeah. I think it was like the what we like about Korea or Seoul show. The subway. Yeah. Walking. What's your policy on walking?
I don't always take the bus to the subway. It's about a 20-minute walk to the subway. Okay. Sometimes I do either walk to or from that.
Okay.
Less in winter than in summer, of course.
Okay.
But, walking is good.
My walk to the subway is about 20 minutes. And I almost always walk to the subway. Unless once at a blue moon I'm really running late or maybe it's really cold. Then I'll jump a taxi or take the first bus that comes along. But yeah, I just like that every day I get 40 minutes of walking, added on to the, you're always on your feet teaching and stuff like that. I don't know. I just think in the last few weeks I've been kind of packing it on a bit. So
that winter bulge.
Yeah, and I kind of hurt my shoulder, my little rotator cuff. So, I usually go straight running and then do chin-ups and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's making it really painful. So I don't know. And it's been cold.
Except for the last couple of days.
Yeah.
It's warmed up nicely, but the last week or two has been like actually winter. Turn on my computer in the morning one day last week, and I've got the little weather channel on my desktop and looked at it. I was like, what do you mean 19 degrees? Stop that. Yeah. Fahrenheit, of course. But
yeah, Fahrenheit. Yeah. It's been like -7 Celsius. Some lows, yeah. So you've been using your little hand warmer thingies? I'm quite excited about that, too. I've been using my hand warmers.
Yeah. Well, I love them.
They've got kind of hard to find some places this year.
I'm going to buy... In fact, I need to remember to do that soon before they go away. I don't know, half a dozen of them to take to...
Back home.
Back home to people.
They love them back home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. But, one of the things I really love is, when the weather gets better, especially, is just, walking around.
Oh, yeah.
So, in the big sort of urban core areas. I probably talked about this, a number of podcasts ago. I'm not big into hiking, but my version of hiking is, I slap on my MP3 player, and then I plot 2 Starbucks on a map. And then I try to figure out how to walk between them. So I'll walk how can I walk from, the City Hall Starbucks to the Shinchan Starbucks? And then, and it's a nice walk. And especially in summertime, you got your ice water and,
nice.
So, but this kind of weather, it's a little harder for that.
But let's see, February, first week of February, maybe this will be the last month of winter.
Yeah, March is...
It could be cold.
March really begins to become an early spring. In Canada, March is just
March
as cold
just
as February.
A horrible month, right.
Is that same deal at Maine?
Yeah,
March's
actual first day of spring rolls around on the calendar, and people are just sort of bitter and angry.
Resentful.
They know it has nothing to do with them.
Yeah, I know, and they're talking about spring and stuff. Yeah, same deal in Ontario. I love telling people, especially in Seoul, where they do get a spring in March, where it's like, we can pretty much get snowstorms to mid-April.
Right.
It's like that last week of April that you're spring has legitimately started,
right.
But up until about April 15th, there's usually one last snowstorm in the making.
Yeah. A better gauge of spring. In Maine, Easter, unless it's a really early Easter. Easter kind of gets people starting to think about...
Okay, right.
...in a spring mood in Maine.
Yeah. And what about bike? Not a motorcycle. Well, there's the motorcycles.
Yeah.
Which are just crazy. Yeah.
Right.
But like a bike, like a little 10-speed. Would you ever ride one here?
No.
Yeah.
No, not in Seoul.
Yeah.
Because of essentially the taxi drivers.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the buses.
And the motorcycle.
Right. And I wouldn't want to do what everyone else does, which is ride them on the sidewalks.
Exactly.
Because I was brought up in a place where you do that. And I can't change. I'm too old to change that. So, no, I wouldn't do that. It's walking, buses, subway, and the occasional taxi for me. And it all works out perfectly. I'm never at a loss to get anywhere.
Exactly. Worst comes worst, there's a really cheap taxi you can hop. And they're everywhere, the taxis.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's three kinds. Blue top, white top, and gold top.
Oh, I didn't realize there were different... is there an actual difference between them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The gold top is... gold top is expensive. Like limousine taxi. And they may speak English too. A lot of times you see them sort of parked out in front of the big hotels and stuff like that. And then I believe the blue tops are independently owned.
Okay.
And gay inn is the term for independently owned taxi. And then the white tops, I think, are owned by companies. So and then they also have these little things sometimes, Best Driver. Have you seen the Best Driver?
No.
It looks like a little pagoda or something on top of the the taxi. Yeah. I mean, the whole lit subway or lit taxi sign.
Oh, my.
But it says Best Driver, and it's all sparkly. And,
wow.
Yeah. And I guess those are
His mom is proud.
Yeah. Those are the dudes that, like, have not had accidents or, you know, run-ins or cops or I don't know.
Good.
So, yeah, if you're really, really, you know, if you come from the sticks and you're afraid of the big city and afraid of taxis,
look for the best drivers. Yeah. Right.
But, you know, my mantra whenever I'm in a taxi, no matter what city I'm in, my mantra is always, I've never seen a taxi in an accident. How many times have you ever actually seen a taxi in an accident?
I can't recall.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, given their insane, crazy driving in any place in the universe, you almost never see them in an accident.
Right. I would guess that they probably leave more accidents in their wake than they actually are involved in.
That's a good point, yeah. Oh, and before we exit our main topic... I found this out last year. You know what the ultimate pimp ride is? Do the kids still say that? The pimpest ride in Korea?
What is it?
I've got a little picture for you here. Do you recognize this? What this
it
is?
It looks like a van.
Yeah, one of those little GM StarCraft vans.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's as good as it gets here. This is the apex of Korean... automobiles?
Luxury kind of cruise. Yeah, it's like, for some reason, Korean celebrities, that is their vehicle of choice, the StarCraft, GM StarCraft van, yeah. Now,
it looks like a window van to me.
Now, when you think of the typical North American driver, who do you picture driving a StarCraft van?
A mom.
I did an informal poll among my friends, and it was usually like, 55 years old, divorced guy, you know, I don't know, kind of maybe trolling for small children or something like that.
I would say...
You would never get in a van driven by a guy like that.
If it weren't for the windows, I would say the guy. The guy people I know generally don't go for the window.
Right, okay. You're right, yeah, there are some windows on this, right, yeah. But for some reason here, it's like you know, if you're a Korean celebrity, it's you and your posse. You troll the little narrow streets of Apgujeong and the GM StarCraft van.
Wow.
Yeah, and like if you pull up to something, you know, like a restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, people will stop and they'll look. Oh, who's gonna get out? Who's gonna get out? And you better be, you know, a Korean celebrity, whatever Korean celebrity.
Don't try.
I don't know.
So average. Joe Kim or Kim
he will
Joe
disappoint a lot of people.
Would not want to get one of these vans and drive around and get himself off as a celebrity.
Yeah.
Because people would get angry at him.
Yeah. Right? I remember years ago I was at the Toronto Film Festival, and you know, it's one of the major film festivals on the circuit. Premiere a lot of Hollywood movies, and there's always, you know, the stars and stuff like that. And but you know, I'm what are they called, the pass holes. I'm not one of those pass holes. I don't own a pass. You know, I'm you know, a schlub. I wait in line. And you got to wait a long time in line. So, you know, we're all waiting in line. And and then a limousine pulls up to the theater. People, because who's going to? It could be Brad Pitt. You know, I mean, right? Those are the people that come out for the Toronto Film Festival, right? So people are like, is it Brad Pitt? Is it
Ben Affleck? Who?
Yeah, sure. Who? Thank you. Good. I don't know celebrity names. I know Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise. You know, so right. What's a good female celebrity name?
Angelina Jolie.
Sure, that's a good one. Right. So we don't know.
Madonna.
Yeah. So it's just bated breath. Everybody's like,
tension building.
Exactly. And then out emerges nobody. Just some
schmuck with a limousine.
Yeah. Great. They were just like, I just think, because like a couple of major accounting firms usually sponsor the film festival. So I think they looked like chartered accountants.
Oh.
So, yeah. And then but everybody in the line literally sort of just like, and the people getting out of the limousine are just like,
exactly.
You're almost like, you know, if they weren't chartered accountants, they may have shot him the finger kind of thing, you know. I don't know. Yeah.
I hate myself and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
English t-shirt finds.
Okay.
Again, this now sort of locks into our main topic. Because first our little intro talk sort of folded into our Jolly Palm.
And right.
Now this sort of folds into our main
topic.
We have
flow today.
Yeah, I know.
Cool.
This is such a tight show today, tightly interlocking. I'm going to have a hell of a time editing it because it's like a fine weave. We're constructing for the people kind of a fine Persian carpet of a podcast.
Right. Yeah. Right.
All right. So our English t-shirt find is talking about the subway, which we avoided talking about the subway, really.
Right.
Okay. But let's talk about the subway now. Weirdest thing you've ever seen sold on the subway?
Just happened to be last week.
Well, I guess, and I know we've talked about this before, but, you know, you're on the subway.
Right.
You know, every 10 minutes, somebody comes into your car.
Selling something.
Something, yeah. You're legally allowed to walk between cars here, not like the Toronto or the New York system.
Right.
Right. So, So every 10 minutes, 5 minutes, someone comes through.
Maybe they've got a bag of stuff slung around their shoulder. Maybe they're pushing a cart of gloves or wallets or music CDs or whatever. Yeah. It's also a good place for missionaries.
Right, yeah, the religious people.
To pass out their stuff.
Yeah.
But the weirdest thing I've seen just happened last week. Rubber surgical gloves.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I assume so. I only saw the one glove that was on the man's hand. So presumably he was either selling rubber surgical gloves or he was offering to give examinations. But since no one I saw took him up on either offer,
volunteer.
I'm not sure. I assume he was trying to sell the rubber gloves.
Mm. I was on the subway once, and a guy was like selling a cucumber slice.
Oh, nice.
You know,
okay.
Slices cucumbers really thin. But I guess maybe he thought that the people were too skeptical. You know, those aren't really thin. I don't know. So he took one of his thin slices and just sort of laid it on some woman's hand. And she's just sort of looking, and like there's a, you know, thin slice of cucumber on her hand.
Take your cucumber off my hand, please.
I don't know. So, not really particularly weird, but all the same, a weird method of trying to sell.
Yeah, as I may have mentioned this before, I'm just really glad that my life has never led me to a place where that seemed like a good way to make ends meet.
We're kind of like sort of sometimes because they've got the little rolly carts,
right?
You know, and they're kind of in North America. Usually, old ladies use to haul the groceries back and forth. Yeah, and always a depressing sight. You know, I don't know, something about moving your groceries in a little rolling cart,
right?
Or using public transportation to transport your groceries.
Right.
I've always found it very depressing.
Yeah, I can pick up what you're putting down.
Yeah. But they always have their little rolling thing, and but sometimes they don't kind of position it right. So, and when the subway starts moving again, the cart starts rolling. You know, it's like, oh Jesus!
Whoops!
I don't know.
I think the ones that annoy me the most are the music CD things because they bring in a something to play it on, and they play it really loud.
Ghetto Blaster, yeah.
Yeah, it's very annoying.
Yeah,
very
especially annoying. When, because I always listen things right. on my, you know, my MP3 player, or my little PDA and stuff. Yeah. It's like, oh God, shut up, please.
Please, I didn't like this song when it came out 20 years ago. I still don't like it.
I know. Lately, they've been selling this, it's a flashlight, and it's got like a little electric plug hanging out of the flashlight. So I think you can kind of just plug it into the wall, charge it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's a flashlight, and then it's also kind of like a little hazard light, little blinky red hazard light thingy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's handy.
Yeah, that kind
I
of...
I just don't generally... I'm not in a shopping mood when I'm on a subway. I don't feel like shopping when I'm taking a subway.
It wasn't on the subway, but one time I was in Jongno, and I saw this guy, and he was literally a walking dollar store. He had some massive frame contraption that he had strapped to his body, all right? And then pretty much everything you could buy in a little dollar store, he had hanging from his frame contraption.
Fun.
And just walking around. And, you know, that had to be heavy.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, even if it, you know, the majority of the weight supported the hips or something like that. I don't know. That was weird.
And there are cities where a person couldn't get away with that. It wouldn't be safe enough for him to feel like it. So that's nice.
Korean kids do the darndest things.
So you're still doing your little plays, right?
I've done two of them now in the last couple of weeks. First one was.
Let me try and remember. So you were trying to do Godspell, but that was
right. We just didn't have the tenor for it.
Good. All right. A little tenor.
No, our first. What we've done for the last two weeks is we take a traditional story and twist it somehow.
Okay.
So we
did
Snowpink and the Seven Rock Stars.
Okay.
Last week we did Cinderella and the Robot Factory.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I like that one.
Yeah. It was fun. It's kind of creepy.
In what regard?
We decided to end it. See, the whole thing was, let's see. Cinderella was in love with the prince.
Okay.
But the prince was in love with a girl robot.
Really?
The girl robot was in love with the boy robot, but the boy robot was in love with Cinderella.
Okay.
So, we got to go through Cinderella ripping out the wires from the girl robot so that the prince couldn't love a dead robot.
Oh.
But the boy robot came along and fixed the girl robot. No. Prince came along and fixed the girl robot. Then we just ripped the wires out of the boy robot. The girl robot came along and fixed the boy robot, who then fell in love with the girl robot, so that worked out good.
Okay, all right.
And then Cinderella had the wonderful idea that if she and her robot animal friends started a fire in the factory, and she saved the prince, that the prince would then love her. Which is fine. The kids all pretty much insisted that everyone besides Cinderella and the prince die.
Okay.
They really wanted that to happen.
So there's a little bit of a genocide there.
Yeah.
Because we've got technically robots capable of love.
Right.
Which implies
some sort of
intelligence.
Kind of form of life, almost, kind of. Yeah. Her robot friends were stuck with her like nothing. I mean, they were with her all the time, and she was just willing to sacrifice them all so she could win the prince, who did, in fact, fall in love with her for saving him. So.
All right. Car. You didn't explain the whole genocide angle to them.
I started to, but decided, nah.
Okay.
Nah. We did have fun with the fire, though. Our fire scene was just everybody running around with red cloth, running around in a big melee on stage, and then finally falling dead. It was quite fun. So at least we got good theater out of it, you know?
So the couple kids who have just no talent whatsoever.
Those are the ones that get one line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But everybody has to have a line.
Right, but they can be fire.
Sure, right.
Yeah. Remember a few podcasts ago, 6, 10 podcasts, I was talking about the using Hangman to keep the kids kind of in line.
Right.
Where you kind of write on the blackboard, you know, time you're going to play Hangman. And every time a kid talks or does something bad, you keep adding a minute. And I did say, you know, it's effective now, but the kids are going to somehow game the system,
right.
Root around it, find something that's right. going to ruin the, you know.
What have they found?
Well, I just noticed that, you know, they would just run it up. They didn't care anymore. You know, and eventually I sort of figured out that, you know, what it was is that, because it's only effective when the kids understand that, you know, that it's them doing something wrong, and it's adding time, and it's screwing the other kids out of their chance to play a game, and that's going to come back to haunt them. But eventually the kids make the calculation that we're not doing anything wrong. Teacher's just vindictive.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah. Right. Because you are.
Pretty much, yeah. I can be.
Could it also be that the charms of Hangman are beginning to fade?
No.
That
no.
we need another game?
No, it's Hangman. They'll play Hangman until...
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. A couple of the games I would play with them sometimes is like a super tic-tac-toe.
Okay.
Which is just, you know, just write make a huge grid on the blackboard and give all the kids a different symbol. You know, you're an X, you're an O, etc. Okay. Yeah. And you know, but then you're a triangle, you're a diamond, right. and stuff like that. And they try to get four in a row. You know, block each other and stuff like that. It has no educational value whatsoever.
No.
Other than teaching symbols, you know.
Right.
Because a lot of times the kids have a very hard time, like the word for circle, the word for square.
Sure.
You know. And this is sort of, I want to be square. I want to be circle. Have you noticed, too, that kids don't understand the check mark as being symbol for correct?
I haven't noticed, but then we don't have a lot of...
Mark grading?
Right. They don't hand me in assignments, and I hand them back to them. Okay. It's all very immediate, what we're doing. So
here, a circle means correct.
Right.
Yeah.
And an X means...
Incorrect, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they go with the X, but the circle actually means correct. Yeah. So a lot of times kids don't quite understand that what check means. That's
right.
One of those little cultural differences.
Right. Another game they seem to like is a sort of modified categories kind of thing, where you name a city that starts with the letter S.
All right, okay. Well, what's kind of fun is you put, but it's hard to explain the rules, and so you kind of need a bit of a class with a sort of better English where you kind of put, you know, you put like maybe a four-letter word. But not, you know, not one...
Right, not a four-letter word.
Not one of those four-letter words. But, you know, something, some word on the blackboard. And then, you know, each kid can change a letter, drop a letter, or add a letter to form a new word. So they keep trying to evolve a new word.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
Fun.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But it's rather time-consuming.
Sure.
So I haven't really played that in a long, long time. Yeah. Mostly because I'm trying to hurry through some textbooks now. I always go really slow through the textbooks, and then I'm like, oh, geez, I've got 3 weeks left in the semester. I better whirlwind.
Flip. Okay, that's a verb. Flip.
Yeah. But I don't know. But I've also discovered, too, that some of the kids, I was asking them, like, you know who is your friend? And who is your friend in Taekwon? Who's your friend here in school? Because they always have different friends. So there's Taekwondo friend, and there's, you know, piano lessons friend, and normal, legitimate school friend. And, and they always have a best friend in the academy, the Taekwon. But they never think of the kid as a friend outside of Taekwon. It's just their partner in crime. Then I sort of discovered a couple kids, they have no answer for that. And they get really sullen and depressed.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's like, I don't know. So,
That's an important thing to discover.
That's
Find
right.
out which are the friendless ones before you start asking about friends. Talking loud and clear, saying just what you feel. Lying in the grass with the sun on our backs. Doesn't really matter what we do, what we say. With every little movement, we give ourselves away. This week's teaching opportunity.
Job opportunity of the week. Let's see.
What have we got?
Yeah, this is a job, obviously. And let's see, it looks like they're hiring 4 positions.
Mm-hmm.
It says type of school, franchise school. So that could mean one of the big chains or right. something like that. Like I said, that can be good and bad.
Right.
It all really, if
depends
it's
on
yeah. If it's franchise, it all depends. It just purely depends on who the franchise owner is.
Right.
If he's a jerk, then you're in trouble. And if he's good, so a lot of times just doing a search on the net, you know, is this a good school? You got to check out the actual
right.
school, you know,
right.
that kind of stuff when you're doing your research. Yeah. So it's in Gangnam, so the South River. It's on Line 7, a subway station called Naebam. Naebam. Meaning yes, and bang meaning room. So the yes room subway
yes
station.
Room subway station.
I don't know.
Okay.
And it's kind of it's just sort of slightly west of kind of the sort of the whole Gangnam cool part of town.
Okay.
But it's on Line 7. It's up to Gangnam, the core Gangnam's on Line 2, or called a circle line. But yeah, Naebang is kind of just a little bit west of that. The cool thing, though, is it's actually sort of, you know, you jump over one subway stop and you can jump on Line 3, which will sort of take you up into center of Seoul and some interesting places, Apgujeong and sort of that sort of stuff. Or you jump over another line and then you get on the blue line and again, whoosh, right up into center of Seoul, Myeongdong, Heihua, things like that. So it's rather well located. I guess it's just it's a little bit hard to... It's always hard to go from Line 7 to Line 3.
Okay.
But, I mean, because you kind of got to jump on another line and then another line. so, yeah.
That is annoying.
But there's a lot of buses and stuff like that, as we're talking about. You know, you can begin to learn the bus systems and stuff. And they have little maps, you know, at the bus stops, like what buses are coming and where they're going, and
yeah.
Most of the stops are all in Korean, but they always have in English the subway interchanges and what actual subway stations the buses are going to, which pretty much is just what we want to know about. Yeah, it took them a while to clue in, but at first they just put the stickers on the signs, and then when it got rainy, the stickers kind of got a bit loose. And then for people who are waiting at the bus stop and they're bored, and for whatever reason, they would just tear the stickers off.
Yeah, that's
which was
nice.
Helpful.
Yeah.
So eventually they figured, well, let's cover them in plate glass. So,
good.
Yeah. So now they've actually covered the bus signs in plate glass, so nobody can tear those stickers off anymore.
The hours on this job seem...
A little weird.
A little weird.
Yeah, a little weird. We got... it says 30 hours a week, teaching hours. 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday,
and
all
then
right.
9:30 a.m. to 7:10 p.m. Presumably, that's a split shift on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
I don't know. Yeah.
Presumably, that would be there'd be a big break in the middle there somewhere.
Yeah, Tuesday, Thursday. Yeah, but I mean, Tuesday, Thursday is my heavy day. So
okay.
Yeah, but at the same time, but what's important here is it's also sort of it's during the day. And, 10 a.m., 9:30 a.m., not really too brutal to sort of get to work at those times, especially 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Friday, you know, I mean, Friday is you're off at 4:30 p.m., so you can
nice.
Get a good jump on your weekend.
Right.
And again, you're Monday, you're starting Monday at 10 a.m., so you're not really sort of, you
right.
know, hauling yourself out of bed at the crack of dawn on a Monday. So that's all kind of cool. Let's see. It starts in March, beginning of March. So this is sort of beginning of February. Yeah. So you got a bit of time to get your butt in gear. They provide a free cell phone. Well, I don't know if it's a free cell phone. Offer a cell phone, which is good. I don't have a cell phone. I don't want a cell phone. But your school provides you a cell.
Yeah, they gave us. Well, they didn't give it to us. We had to put a deposit. And
all right.
Of course, we paid.
Yeah.
The bill, but yeah, we didn't have to buy them or anything.
But all despite the weird hours, the pay looks good.
Mm-hmm.
2.1 to 2.5 million. Again, that's on your higher end, that's really good, 2.5.
For full benefits,
yeah.
housing, air ticket.
Single housing,
right.
Yeah, which is good.
It says, of course, you get the end of contract bonus,
cause yeah.
just everybody does. But it says two-time bonus of 400,000...
Yeah,
400,000 won
plus this other performance-related pay. I don't know. That's a little confusing. 300, 200, 100 won.
This rings a bell. I would imagine. I think Pagoda has this kind of system.
Yeah, okay, right.
In in play. Right. So
as so you don't, if you lose too many people, keep you if you retain a high number of your students, then you kind of get bonuses and stuff like that. Yeah, if you lose students, then you're in trouble. Yeah, so it might be one of those chains. But
although probably not, since it's the email address is a work and play thing. Isn't that its own chain?
Work and play? I think it's a recruiter.
Oh. Okay.
Recruiter, yeah. Yeah. So you can contact Jennifer. That's the person's name, but that's also their email address, Jennifer, JenNnifer, @ workandplay.co.kr. So work and play, work, WORK, the letter N, and then play, PLAY, all one word, .co.kr. Again, this will all be on our little website, so you can go there.
Tell Jennifer we sent you.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah. All right, that's our show. I wanted to mention. Remember, it might have been one of the first podcasts we did. You were talking about the tomato juice.
Oh.
And, yeah, you're making a face. And now I fully understand that face. You know, I bought some tomato juice. And you found
I tried to tell you.
Yeah, I know. You found the tomato juice too sweet.
Very.
But I'm like, oh, how bad can it be? So I wagered, $2.50 on a bottle of tomato juice.
How'd you like it?
Oh, God. It's rank. Awful. Yeah. I can't believe you can make tomato juice that bad.
I know.
With sugar.
I know. It's tragic because I love tomato juice.
Yeah.
When it's not adulterated.
So yes, John, you were right.
Oh, thank you for the validation.
Yeah. But again, yeah. So you've had it independently confirmed. Avoid the tomato juice here.
Ugh.
Man, have you seen the new money?
Yes, it's very nice.
It's kind of cool, yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah,
it reminds me quite a bit of Euros, actually.
Okay, right, yeah. They've got the... last year, they introduced the 5,000. And this year, they've now gone the full Monty. They've introduced the 1,000 and the 10,000. And
they top out at 10,000, right?
Yeah.
They don't have anything higher than a 10,000, a $10 bill.
Basically, yeah. So it's a $1, $5, to $10. No $2 bill.
No.
Yeah. And...
okay.
But... Do you know the controversy this year?
No.
Okay, well, let me two prefaces. First of all, Canadians.
Oh, yeah,
When we introduced our new money a number of years ago, a couple of our old prime ministers, we had on, it was like the $5 and the $10 bill. We had two of our old prime ministers from sort of the beginning of the 20th century. And so... We had a picture of the Parliament building on the money, and then we had the flag on the Parliament building. And a lot of, I don't know, apparently a lot of Canadians didn't know that Canada's not always had the maple leaf flag as its flag. And, when Laurier and when Sir John were Prime Minister, John A. Macdonald, when they were Prime Minister, there was another flag. It was called the Red Ensign. Okay.
No.
Yeah. And if you reduce the red ensign to about 3 millimeters across, by 2 millimeters high, it's a rectangle, and then in the upper left corner is a little rectangle.
Uh-oh.
All right.
I see where this is going.
Yeah. So, but they also managed to sort of put a little dot in the bottom right corner, and that's where there's like a 3 maple leaf symbol there. Hence where I think where we mostly get the maple leaf symbol on the actual Canadian flag today. All right, so the red ensign, it was the Union Jack up in the corner, right? Which you Americans fill with stars.
Right.
So, all right, so when reduced to a very, very small size, it looks a lot like an American flag.
Yeek.
Ignoring the fact that the American flag doesn't have a blotch in the bottom right.
Okay. But, people are sensitive to these things.
So, oh my God, the outcry. They put a Canadian flag, or they put an American flag on the Canadian Parliament. This is all sort of, symbol that, we're going to be taken over by America, free trade, da-da-da-da-da. And it was always these people who were like, the Patriots, the Canadian Patriots.
Right.
And it's like, how come you can call yourself a patriot and not really know the history of the Canadian flag?
Right.
I don't know. So, yeah. And then we came up with more new money. And then one of our famous poems in Flanders Field mm-hmm. was on the back of our $5 bill. I think it was our $5 bill. Maybe our 10, maybe our 20. I don't know. I was away from Canada when they introduced all that. But again, huge controversy. People just didn't remember the poem correctly. You know, in Flanders Field where poppies grow, or where in Flanders Field where poppies blow.
A lot of people tend to think that it's... don't realize that it's actually quite a pro-war, get the rotten bastard enemy poem.
In any regard, they just, for some reason they're just like, oh my god, they got the poem wrong. How could they? Every school child knows the... I'm a school child. I don't really know the poem off by heart myself.
Flanders Field, the poppies grow between the crosses, row on row, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but the question is it grow or blow? And, but a lot of people think it's blow, not grow. One of those things. So, yeah.
Okay.
So Canadians get really buggy about their money. When there's new money, they freak out. They think they've botched it. In America, it tends to be like paranoia. Like there's some new thing they put in the American money and the government's going to track us with satellites.
Right.
Right. So
you know, they can drive by your house and know how much money you have.
All right. So again... no people are immune, and Canadians are probably far, far stupider when it comes to new money.
Yeah.
Freaking about money. All right, so anyways. So the 5001 note used to be the serial numbers were Korean characters and money, and then they changed it to Roman characters, A, B, C, D, and numbers. And kind of people sort of freaked out about that. But it's like, well, okay, in global society, money's being moved around, counterfeiting. Not a lot of banks are set up, foreign banks set up to enter Korean characters as serial numbers, So, yeah, I'm sorry, but okay, that's one of those little facts.
Concessions to the world.
Yeah. Right. If you want to do business globally, want to move your money around the globe,
has to be recognizable as money.
Yeah. But maybe 0.01% of people in the world use Korean. Right. So that was one of the big stinks. And then two, it was like the old money said the Bank of Korea, and then the new bills, they dropped the
article.
The article. The definite article. So just Bank of Korea, which then a lot of Koreans were like, no, that's grammatically correct. You have to have the Bank of Korea. And and I checked the Canadian money, and it just says Bank of Canada.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. You don't need the definite article on Bank of, right? And
I didn't think Korean even had articles.
Well, I mean the English, which kind of had me kind of laughing because, my kids have been studying English for 5 years, and it's like every time I tell them that most countable nouns, single nouns need an article.
Right.
It's like the first time they've ever heard that rule before.
Nice.
And it's one of the most basic rules in English, right?
Right.
And so it was, to me at least, was encouraging that people were getting kind of a little
paying
bit of focus
to an article.
Yeah, how important articles are.
Good.
Yeah. So that was a little controversial. All right, so now they've come up with the 1,000 and the 10,000. And I think it's the 10,000. On the back of the 10,000, they have this astronomical invention. All right.
Looks like Copernicus's thing.
Yeah. And Koreans are very proud of their scientific inventions. And Koreans legitimately invented movable type, like metal movable type, before
Gutenberg.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But they've never gotten their due.
Oh.
And I've Googled this backwards and forwards. Because,
right.
I was talking about Gutenberg to my kids, and they're like, no, teacher, Korea invented that. And first I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you got moon bases, whatever. It's just paranoid ranting. So, but then again, I legitimately researched it.
Right.
And sure enough, pretty much, yes, Korea invented provable type. And as ugly Westerners, we just stomped on their invention. We claim that we invented movable type.
Well, that's probably because we didn't know they existed.
No, we didn't. But in history books, it should really, literally be that the Koreans invented the movable type. All right. So anyway, And so they're really proud of their inventions. And one of their inventions, is like, I think it was like King Sejong. He invented this invention called the, I think it's the Su Pyo. Su, kind of like the Chinese word for water. And Pyo, maybe meaning stick.
Right. Water stick.
Yeah, water stick. So it was brilliant. What they did is they put a stick in a river.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And when they can't see the stick anymore, that means there's going to be floods.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And
how did they get it to work, though?
I don't know. But I think to myself, well, you know, given Hagwon planning sometimes, I can see maybe how they would celebrate that kind of idea.
Right.
Like, let's just put a stick in the classroom, and if the kids' bodies pile up, we can't see the stick, maybe we got to hire a new teacher. I would love that.
Right.
I would celebrate that
right.
boss in song
maybe you
and
should
legend.
Invent that.
I know. The Hagwon stick. Hagwon Pyo. I don't know. All right. So anyways. So they put this little astronomical machine on the back of the money. And as it turns out, the big controversy is that it's not quite a Korean invention. The core of it is a Chinese invention, all right? And then the Koreans kind of took the Chinese astronomical invention, and I think they put like a blue box around it or something.
Okay.
Okay. So that's
their own.
Yeah. So but then the mint was kind of like, well, the Bank of Korea, BOK, B-O-K. They were kind of like, well, you know, that blue box we put around it just doesn't really, it's not the core of the invention. So we just kind of threw the core part on the money. And yeah, technically it's a Chinese invention, but whatever. I don't know. So that's the big stink about the new 10,000 won.
Well then, I hope they work it out.
I
hope no one loses
their
job over it. Right?
No. Yeah.
I hope Korea doesn't invade China.
Yeah, we'll make it our own. How do we get around this little problem?
Well, we'll conquer China.
Exactly. Sometimes my kids do argue that. They're like, well, we can just invade China, can't we? No, well, not really. That might be kind of difficult.
Some practical considerations.
All right. I guess that's our wacky little show.
Okay, then.
But remember, movable type is a Korean invention.
Is a Korean invention.
Yeah, if you take one thing away from this podcast, Korean invented movable type, and that the history books are in dire need of being rewritten. All right.
When?
All right. Bye, John.
Okay, see ya.
Just a bunch of guys getting in the car. Tells us how to drive. Me and the boys.